okay, I have no relationships to disclose. And well, the problem that we have is that about 3 million people worldwide depend on natural fuels, such as wood, manure, agricultural residues, and coal. And these cause many health problems. They cause respiratory problems, eye problems, posture problems. And one strategy that is being implemented worldwide is improved wood-burning stoves. And there are several benefits of these stoves. You know, the toxic fumes are actually taken outside through a chimney instead of leaving them inside. They use less wood. They also reduce accidents, you know, with smaller children and for mothers as well. And they improve posture when the mother is cooking. We implemented this project where we were located as Peace Corps volunteers, and we were in the Department of Ancash, and it's just north of Lima, and we were located up in the mountains in a small district of Mato, which has about 2,000 inhabitants. When we got to our site, we did a needs assessment, and so we found that about 94% of the families that we interviewed still used wood as their main source of fuel. And we also found that about 66% of them said that they did not have an improved burning wood stove. So the purpose of this presentation is just to show you some of the results that we have from a short-term evaluation that we did of our community intervention of our Healthy Kitchens project. The project goals, we had several project goals. One of the main ones was to reduce the smoke in the kitchen. And we did this by just measuring eye irritation. You know, we didn't have any fancy biological measures to measure smoke, so we did this through reported eye irritation. We also wanted to increase the number of families using a method to purify their water, and we measured this by a reported method of purifying water from the mothers and actual use of a container to keep their purified water. We also wanted to improve their knowledge in nutrition and balanced meals, and they had to accurately identify pictures of balanced meals. And we also wanted to increase their knowledge of key moments for hand washing, and they had to accurately mention 3 key moments for hand washing, and that was before cooking, before eating, and after using the bathroom. So how our project worked is that the families had to attend 4 education sessions related to these topics, you know, hand washing, nutrition, etc. And they also had to build a stove, had to build a pantry, and they had to build an ecological refrigerator, as well as plant a family garden. Now, when all these requirements were met, then we would give them one iron stove top for their improved wood burning stove, a transparent roof panel for their kitchen, because most of the kitchens are very dark. 6 meters of wire fencing, and 1 container for their purified water. We worked with about 55 families throughout the district, and they were from 6 different communities. Our main participants, of course, were women, and they had an average education level of 4th grade. And their marital status, of course, most of them were married. About 30% were through common law, and just a few were widowed, separated, or single. How we did our evaluation, you know, we did a pre-survey and a post-survey. And the project lasted about 4 months in each community. And we also did 2 monitoring visits. So in total, we did 4 home visits to each one of the families. And we just did, you know, some statistics to look at the differences before and after the project. Our survey, we developed our survey using the questions from the Demographic and Family Health Survey, which is done in Peru, and it's collaboratively done through USAID and the Peruvian government. After 2004, the Peruvian government actually started doing the survey every 2 years, and the questions from our survey were from the 2000 questionnaire. And some examples of our questions were, generally the family cooks where? Inside the house, outside the house, in the open, in a separate room from the house. We would ask the mothers, when you cook, do your eyes burn because of the smoke, yes or no, et cetera. And I'm gonna skip some of these slides. We use these pictures to assess their knowledge of balanced meals. The first picture that we would show them had a plate with showing bread, potatoes, and crackers. So, obviously this was not a balanced meal. The second picture that we showed them had a plate with potatoes, rice, and a guinea pig. Guinea pig, of course, is a main food staple from those communities. And this was not a balanced meal either. And the third picture that we would show them, it would show a plate with beet, carrots, onions, potatoes, and fish. And this was a balanced meal. So we would ask them, is this picture a balanced meal, yes or no? Some of our results for eye irritation, before the project, about 94% of mothers reported that yes, they their eyes would burn while they were cooking. After our project, only 4% reported that their eyes still burned while cooking. So it was a significant decrease in that. We also used a scale. We used the FACES pain rating scale, and we adapted it to their burning of their eyes. So, we would show them the scale and would ask them, tell me how much do your eyes burn? And they would point to, the little face that best represented them. Before the project, the average was about a 3. And after the project, we can see it really went down to almost a 0. So most of the women did not have burning of their eyes. In relation to the purification of water, before the project, we saw that about 46% of the mothers drank or used water straight from the source. So they did not boil it, they did not put chlorine in it, nothing, just straight from the source. And after the project, about 96% of them reported that they were boiling their water, and about 4% actually reported that they were using sodas or solar disinfection to purify their water. Where they kept their water before the project, it was really, all kinds of different places. They would keep it in a covered container, in an uncovered container, in a pitcher, in the kettle, just all kinds of places. After the project, we were really surprised, about 94% were using their covered container with a faucet that we gave them. We really didn't think that they were going to use them. We thought that, when we did the home visits, they were going to have them, in the backyard, in the corner of the house, or, to keep other grains. But it was really surprising that most all of them were using their container correctly. And even one of the schools adopted this method. Each classroom had a container, and the mothers would rotate, bring in boiled water for the children to also have safe water to drink during the school time. In relation to knowledge of nutrition and balanced meals, before the project, when we showed them the first picture, about 47% were reporting that, yes, this is a balanced meal. And for the second picture, 80% reported, yes, this is a balanced meal. After the project, we saw that 89% were accurately identifying the first picture as not a balanced meal, and 70% accurately identified the second picture as not a balanced meal as well. In terms of key moments for hand washing, before the project, about 50% of mothers could accurately mention the 3 moments of hand washing. And after the project, up to 93% of the mothers were accurately mentioned those 3 key moments. We did see a significant reduction in smoke, as reported by eye irritation in the mothers. Also, a significant increase in a method to purify their water. increasing the mothers using a safe container for their purified water. We also saw a significant increase in mothers' identification of balanced meals, and also a significant increase in mothers' knowledge of key hand-washing moments. So, of course, you know, we had some limitations. Of course, our sample was really small, only 55 families. However, you know, we didn't have a lot of funding. You know, Peace Corps doesn't give you a lot of funding for your projects. We're not a big NGO with lots of money. So, you know, but, and also our results were self-reported. You know, it was a questionnaire. Some of the things, you know, like, you know, the hand washing, we couldn't really observe. You know, we couldn't be with them, you know, 24 hours a day seeing if they wash their hands or not. And a lot of times, you know, they would probably give us socially acceptable answers. And it was also a short time frame, so, you know, it was from the beginning of the project to the end of the project. And of course, you know, over time, probably their knowledge is going to decrease, they're going to forget things, their kitchens may not work as well, etc. So really, you know, we do need to look at long-term effects for these projects. You know, look at the sustainability. Of course, get a bigger sample, get more money, you know, get more families with improved kitchens. Of course, look at, you know, behavior variables as well as health variables. Of course, some of these bigger NGOs are able to do that. You know, a lesson learned really is that, you know, even though our project was really small, even small funded projects can make a difference in families' lives and can improve their lives. And I just wanted to show you some pictures of before our project began, some of the kitchens. A lot of the families keep guinea pigs, especially in the kitchen, you know, because it's warm and, you know, they kind of have a safe place to stay. For the animals, but you know, of course, this is not very hygienic. So, you know, and the kitchens kind of look a little bit unorganized. You know, a lot of soot on the walls from the wood. But then after the project, I mean, these families really, really worked hard. Right here we have an example of an ecological refrigerator, and this is a pantry, one of the pantries that they built. Of course, some families, you know, spent a little bit more money than other families. The main objective was just for the families to use the resources that the community had, so they really didn't have to spend any money. But, for example, some of them, I think here, used a little bit of cement to cover their stoves. But, you know, they look a lot cleaner, a lot nicer, brighter, you know, light is coming in. So, and the women really, really like their improved kitchens. This is just another example, you know, this is a woman, her stove really was just on the corner of her house. And she used, you know, three rocks to cook. And then after the project, you know, she had her stove, her kitchen, you know, was totally redone. It looks, you know, so much cleaner. And, you know, she was just really, really proud of her kitchen. And at the end, when they finished the project, we would give them a certificate. And they would be just so excited about that and so proud. We had a lot of fun. Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much. Before I turn over it to you for what I hope is an interactive and lively discussion after those very four illuminating presentations, I just wanted to say that I was reading an article and that many women in China, the study was done in China, who spent long hours working, toiling, slaving over wood stoves, like what you showed us, Anna, had an increased incidence of lung cancer. And these people were not smokers, because it depends on the number. It's called the particulate emission rate, PER, so it depends on that. So that is a big problem we have. And unfortunately, you know, those of us who have not worked or lived or traveled to other parts of the world don't realize what a challenge cooking is, including getting the firewood and even you know, getting it done. And a lot of, especially in Asia, I'm originally from India, and I can tell you that a lot of people walk many distances, and a lot of the solid fuel usage has not decreased in any way over the past decade. There have been numerous studies done by the UNDP and the UNEP, that is the United Nations Environmental Program, so it's really a challenge. So thank you all so much for your different aspects of looking at what are the factors, challenges, about the various issues of women's health. And that being said, we have really about 24 minutes for questions, which is great. And I would like to request that you please identify yourself, and if you would like to direct the question specifically to one of our panelists or to all of them. Okay, so I don't see any hands up. Yes. You'll be doctor soon.
How do you define verbal violence?
It was specifically, there was two questions about if they had been verbally insulted. And I think the second one related to how they felt when their husbands talked to them or when their partners talked to them. So there was two questions specifically that related to that.
So the content of the tone.
Correct. Yeah, and it was from the Indian National Family Health Survey, which is the Indian version of the DHS.